I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter number 20, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Revelation chapter 20, we begin reading in verse number 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. The Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the time you've given to us now. As we've read thy word and we look into it tonight, I pray, Father, that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to a greater understanding of the things that's before us. Lord, help us to realize the severity of the things that we've just read. And Lord, our responsibility in reaching the world that's lost. Lord, may Christ be always exalted in this place. But Lord, may we realize the need to go out from this place and exalt Him outside the walls of this church in a greater way. Help us to live for Thee. We might make a difference. Lord, I pray that you'll use this night to bring glory and honor into thy name. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We continue our study in the book of Revelation. We've come to the point where the millennial reign of Christ is now complete. Satan has been loosed for a little season, if you will, and he's gathered those who did not receive Christ by faith during the 1,000 years. That millennial reign of Christ, to go to battle against Christ and against His kingdom. And of course, we remember that God poured down fire from heaven, devoured these wicked people, these followers of Satan. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 10 that Satan is cast into the lake of fire and he's reunited with the beast and the false prophet. 1,000 years these two have been there. So we understand that this is eternal. This is something that's everlasting. And once you're cast into the lake of fire, it's forever. You'll not get away from it and you'll not die. You'll not disintegrate. You'll be there for time and eternity. As soon as these events are complete that we've talked about, the Bible says John sees a great white throne and him that sat on it. What a vision this was that John was having. You can imagine what he must be thinking when he sees the things that unfold before his very eyes. And tonight, by the help of God, I want us to look at these things. And in just a few moments, I hope we get a greater understanding of this event called the Great White Throne Judgment. First of all, I want you to see the judge of the Great White Throne. The judge of the Great White Throne. The Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was no place found for them." So we see that there's one sitting on this throne. The Bible doesn't say here who it is, but the judge of this day is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. While it's not mentioned by name, it's evident from other passages of Scripture. The Gospel of John, chapter number 5, and verse number 22, the Bible says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." And somebody said, "Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He's here, said, 'I didn't come to judge.'" That's right, He didn't come that time to judge. But when He comes and He's seated at the great white throne, I can promise you He's going to be there judging. The God that robed Himself in flesh and brought salvation into the world to all that believe is now seated as the judge on this great white throne. The Bible helps us to understand that His glory and His majesty provide such an awe that the earth and heaven fled away from His presence, from before His very face. And we know that the Bible teaches us in chapter 21 that they're going to be replaced by a new heaven and a new earth. That's coming. So apparently, suspended somewhere in space is this great white throne, and people are going to be brought before this great white throne at this judgment. So we understand the judge, and we see the judge at the great white throne. Second thing I want you to see tonight is the judgment of the great white throne. The Bible says, "And I saw the dead," verse 12, "small and great stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works." This is the final judgment that we read of in the Word of God. This is the last one. It's the final and the most terrible and the most tragic of all the judgments that you can possibly read of or try to comprehend with your mind. I want you to notice tonight, as we look at the judgment of the great white throne, I want you to see the people being judged. The Bible says the dead, both small and great. The dead, both small and great. Now remember, the rapture's already taken place, so the church is accounted for. The church is already with the Lord. And then also, don't forget, the resurrection has taken place. The first resurrection has taken place. So all of the saints before the church age and after the rapture, they're accounted for. So the people that are being judged at the judgment of the great white throne are all those that rejected Christ as their Savior and died in their sins. The Lord Jesus was speaking in the Gospel of John, chapter number 8, verse number 21. He says, Then Jesus said again unto them, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come." And he, Jesus, said unto them, "Ye are from beneath, I from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And so what we see here is that the dead are those that have died in their sins. Because all those that trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, they've already been raptured or resurrected. But here we find people that have died in their sins, and he says, "Whither I go, you cannot come." There is a great and glorious place called heaven for eternity for all who believe, but the Bible says those that do not believe cannot go there. And we see tonight the judgment of the great white throne. We see the people are the dead, both small and great. Where have they been? They were dead. And the Bible says in verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." So God is clarifying for us that regardless of where someone died, or regardless of where they may be buried, regardless of the disintegration or the total destruction of their body, they will bodily stand before Him at the great white throne. The sea here speaks of those who died and were not buried in a grave, possibly those that went to a watery death. Those who maybe died on the sea and were cast out into the oceans. The Bible teaches us here that death, is here it speaks of the ground, the place where we are buried, the place that the dust of the earth, death, is. That's what it's talking about. And then when it says death and hell delivered up the dead, hell here is the abode of the spirit and the soul. It's a place of torture. It's an intermediate place where the wicked are kept until the great white throne judgment. There's different words in the Bible, different different words in the languages that helps us to understand what these things mean. They're Sheol and Hades and Gehenna. And Gehenna, of course, is the lake of fire. And here we have Hades, which is the place where people go when they die now. It's hell, but it's not the lake of fire, if you will. And that's going to be after the great white throne judgment. And what a terrible time that's going to be. And we see this, the Bible helps us to understand that the dead, both small and great, are going to stand before God. So the spirit and the soul and the body of those that reject Jesus Christ as Savior will be reunited, will be judged, and will be condemned. What a terrible thought that is. How horrible we see this. We see the people of this judgment. But I want you to see the proof of this judgment. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 12. The Bible says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And listen to this. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Notice the last part of verse 13, the last sentence. It says, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. In these books, and the book is the proof that's needed for this judgment and for the condemnation. The Bible teaches us about books. It says the books were opened and a book was opened. And the books here have all the works, all the sins, all the times that they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, these unbelievers, all the things they experienced in their life, that's what these books are all about. It's a record of their life. And the book, the Bible helps us to understand, is the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. It's opened and these are being judged. These that are being judged, they can look. They can pore over it with a fine looking glass if they want to. But they're going to find in this Lamb's book of life that their name is not there. And if that's all that they had, that their name was not there, that's proof enough for the judgment that they're going to have in their life. Their names are not recorded there. No record of their names. So if their name's not found there in the book of life, then why do we have to have the books? What's the importance of these books? These books will contains a review of their life. Just think of everything being brought before them. Every sin they ever committed has to be paid for. It was paid for once on Calvary's cross. It was paid for once, and they rejected that payment. Thought they could do it on their own. Every wicked deed will be brought to remembrance. The sins of omission and the sins of commission. They'll be reminded of all these things. I believe that every opportunity they had to trust Christ will be shown to them. Every time somebody witnessed to them, every time somebody tried to approach them and they rejected them. Every gospel tract that was placed in their hands and they would not read it, or they denied the truth that was given to it. Every service that they went to a church where the gospel was preached and they walked away unconverted. Every gospel song they heard that revealed to them the truth of the Savior's love and they rejected it and maybe laughed at it and mocked at it. All these things in the books. I'm convinced tonight that all these things are there for the proof of the condemnation that they're going to receive. Their name's not in the book of life, but all their deeds are in the books. Their denial of conscience and creation will be brought before them. Because we have in our conscience and in creation enough to bring us to a realization that we need a Savior. God gave us just enough knowledge that we're condemned until we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. because man sinned, and that sin separated us from God. We had to be redeemed back to God, and Christ paid our sin debt on the cross of Calvary, and all who put their faith in Him are redeemed back to God. The judgment will be made according to the proof from the books, from the lack of the name in the book of life. This judgment will be given to them. There's no doubt that the lake of fire will be horrible. But the Bible helps us to understand some things here. To understand that even in this judgment, there will be degrees of punishment. While all that's associated with the lake of fire will be horrible, for some, it'll be worse than for others. And by the way, the very best is so bad you won't be able to bear it. But God will give you a body that'll be able to bear it for all eternity. I can imagine those that come before Him, the dictators, the emperors, the kings, the queens, those in authority that have brought great evil to the world, persecuting the church, destroying innocent people, brutally murdering people for their faith in Christ. Those that martyred these people will be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that brought salvation to the world, and the one whom whose feet and arms were ripped off of their bodies because they wouldn't denounce their faith in Christ. These who were burned at the stake with a smile on their face because of their faith in Christ, but they would not renounce their faith. Those that killed innocent people because of their race, because of their faith. I can imagine how terrible the suffering will be for people like that. How horrible hell is going to be, the lake of fire. But I started thinking about this. I thought, what about those that have heard the truth over and over and over again? Maybe sit on a church pew week after week and month after month and year after year. And they've heard the truth, but they've rejected the truth. What will their punishment be like? Think about all the gospel that's going to be shown to them, all the preachers that they've heard preach, all the missionaries they've heard speak, all the songs that they've heard sung, all the truth that's been given in their Sunday school. Think about people like that. Yet in their foolish pride, they will not admit that they're lost, in need of a Savior. They play religion, but what they need is a relationship. The Bible says in the Gospel according to Luke, to help us to understand this, chapter 12, verse 47 and 48, Jesus is given a parable of the steward and his servants, and he says, that servant which knew his Lord's will, and that's Lord, talking about a master Lord, not capital L Lord, the servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. There it is, degrees of punishment. You understand that. But this next part of this verse is revealing, the most revealing of all. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. I can only imagine what it'll be like where those that have heard the gospel truth time and time again and rejected it, and they stand before Christ at the great white throne with no excuses, just silly pride kept them from trusting Christ as Savior. How horrible it'll be when they too are cast into the lake of fire. It was prepared not for them, but for the devil and his angels. But ever since the beginning of time, Satan has been gathering a remnant of people to go with him there. The Bible says, Verse number 14, they were judged every man according. Excuse me, verse 13, they were judged every man according to his works. The judgment of the great white throne. The people are the dead. Those that die in their sins without Christ as their Savior. The proof will be right there before them. There'll be no arguing, but God, but Lord, but. Too late. Their name's not recorded, and their deeds will be before them. And the proof of the judgment will be so real. But then I want you to see the justice of the great white throne. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 14. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When it says death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, it means that literally death and hell were emptied into the lake of fire. All that was produced, death, the body and the grave and the soul, the spirit and the body as they come together, was all emptied into the lake of fire. They were all cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Do you realize the eternal state of all who have rejected Christ is an eternal separation from Him in a lake of fire? It would be bad enough to be separated from Christ. But for all eternity, you'll be burning in a lake of fire if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. When we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we did not get justice. We were justified. That's exciting, isn't it? The moment I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and to be my Savior, at that very moment I was justified in the sight of God. At the great white throne, there will no longer be justification. Justice will be the end of the unbeliever. I'm always reminded when I think about justice and the mercy of God, I'm reminded of Brother Mays Jackson. I love to hear Brother Mays preach. I'm reminded of how when he would preach on the story of the woman taken in adultery and brought to the Lord. And they brought him there, those accusers brought her there to accuse her that he might stone her. For that's what the law of Moses required. And I'm reminded of how the Lord Jesus Christ stooped down and he wrote with his finger on the ground. And then he stood up and he said, "You that are here without sin, you first cast a stone at her." Then he stoops back down and writes again. And the Bible teaches us that the first time he stooped, it's like he didn't even hear what they said. But as he stood up and he made that comment, he stooped down and one by one they began to go away. Oldest to youngest. And then he stands back up and he and the woman are there alone. And he looks at her and says, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have they not condemned thee?" And she said, "No, no man has condemned me." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Brother May said, we don't know what he said. We don't know what the Lord Jesus wrote. But he said, I believe this is what it was. He said, they came accusing and he did not listen, but he stooped down and he wrote on the ground, "Justice called." And he stood up and made his comments and stooped back down and wrote again. And as he stood up and there were no accusers, he said, "But mercy answers." There was no one there worthy to cast the first stone. They were all imperfect. Those accusers were there. And this was a day that brought mercy to a woman that if justice was given, she would have been stoned to death. But we're talking about a day now when justice will be out of the picture. There'll be no more justice. And by the way, the one that is judging is the rightful judge, for he is one that is without sin. And he will stand, he will be there on the judgment seat and he will judge in truth and in righteousness. And there will be no mercy. And just as we'll receive a glorified body for heaven, These that are judged at the great white throne will receive a body that will burn forever. Never have relief. Never disintegrate. And never go away. I want you to understand this tonight as we talk about this and come down to this closing thought. There's no rejoicing over the truth of the great white throne for me. I realize justice is going to be given, but were it not for the grace of God, I could be in the same place. There's no rejoicing. It's a sad reality that so many, some that we personally know, will have to go through this. Some you know by name, by face. Some you love. Some that may even have your last name. Some that you may have known for years and years and years. If they don't trust Christ, they'll be facing this very end. There's no escape. Every unbeliever will face the great white throne judgment and then be cast into the lake of fire. So tonight, let me say this. Be sure that you've trusted Christ by faith as your personal Savior. Know beyond any shadow of a doubt, it's simply by faith that you trust Christ. You believe what the Bible says about Him. You understand you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And you call upon the only one that can save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. I'm talking about a recognition of your need, and as you recognize that need, you call upon the one that can help you with that need, and you put your faith and trust in Him and what He did on the cross of Calvary. It's not just some game we play. It's not just some words we utter. It's not ABC, repeat after me. It's putting your faith in the one that can save you. It's not in being baptized. It's not in church membership. It's putting your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the first thing we need to do tonight. We need to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we're saved. And by the way, when you trust Christ, don't doubt Christ. When you know you've done what the Bible says to do to be saved, then rest in that promise. And secondly, be sure that you're a faithful witness of the grace of God. Be sure, while you can't save anybody, that you've expressed to these people you know that need the Lord their need of Christ. You say, well, I don't know how, I don't have the opportunity. Ask God to help you with that. Carry a gospel tract. You may not even be able to say anything, but say, look, I've prayed for you and I'm burdened for you and I really would like for you to read this. You never know, God may open up a door and you can talk them through it. One of the greatest things that we've done in being able to lead people to the Lord is we have a gospel tract, and we'll begin by that, and then we get to open up the gospel tract and we can show them what it says and help them to understand it. But be sure we're a faithful witness. If you're saved, be sure you're a faithful witness. You say, why is that so important? Because we too are going to go to a judgment seat. It's called the Bema Judgment. It's the judgment of what we've done with Christ. And what we receive at our judgment seat will be rewards. Or we'll miss rewards. Heaven's going to be ours if we're saved. But heaven will be so much sweeter if we've done what God wants us to do while we're here. Judgment seat will be so much better if we're doing with our life the very will of God. May the Lord help us tonight. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You, Lord, for Your precious Word. I pray that we've been helped tonight. And Lord, what a difficult thing it is to think about this. Lord, may it stir us to do something. Not just get stirred up in our soul, but Lord, help us to have a desire to do something to help others to know Christ as Savior. If there be one here tonight without Christ, Lord, would they get rid of their silly pride? Put it aside, Lord. Please help them. Help them to realize that it's time to quit playing and it's time to put their faith and trust in Thee. Lord, I pray that we'll see the evidence of changed lives as a result of Your Word. Lord Jesus, help us to be faithful in telling others about You. Help us to be...